Hello, and welcome to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Rodney Smith, the senior minister of the Welch Street Church of Christ. Let's tune in now for today's message.
All right, everybody say, I'm awake. Say it again, I'm awake. Now, if you are asleep by the time I get done, I know I'm the one that put you to sleep. Amen. Always a privilege to be here with you on today. God has blessed us one more time to see a day that we've never seen before. I always have so much respect for your minister, Brother Ken Holsberry. He is certainly a person who brings us together, and I've enjoyed the relationship of building that relationship with him each and every year. Always have to acknowledge Brother Larry Sutter when I'm here. Learned so much through his tenure and even now through his wisdom. And surprised to see my friend Brother Johnny Bond here with us and his wife here with us. I don't know why every time I see Johnny, I want to go to the trunk and pull out my tennis shoes and and play some basketball. But of course, that's all in my mind now because I'll be laid out somewhere around the floor. Good to have my wife and children with me today. There's also some members from Welch here this morning. Such an important subject matter that we are talking about through this particular evangelistic campaign. I can't think of a more appropriate subject than what we are dealing with throughout this series, and that's the saving of souls. And that we and our spirit within us will be awakened to the opportunity, to the task that we have before us, to be extensions of God, to be his hands, to be his mouthpiece, to serve others and show that compassion that he himself shared on others. This morning, we'll be talking from the subject, Awaken Us to Your Purpose for Us. The scripture was read. I want to read from Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through verses 3, where the Bible says this: after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. He said, go, and I am sending you out like lambs among the wolves. What I love about this passage and others is that it really gives us a glimpse into the heart of God. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21, Jesus was talking to the people, and he said, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so what he's saying, in other words, is that we can identify the things that are most important to us, the things that we value, by our actions. Our actions will show us what's most important or what's in our heart. So God has demonstrated to us over and over again throughout scripture what is in his heart. He demonstrated that when he looked upon mankind and saw our condition. He saw us in our sins and hopeless to do anything to change our situation. And what did he do? He sent the very best that he had. He sent his very own son in order to die on the cross for something that he did not do. We see Jesus as he was actively engaged in his ministry, going from town to town, teaching the gospel, healing the sick, giving sight to the blind. We find him giving hope to people. And then in Luke chapter 9, the chapter that precedes our text, he sent out the 12 disciples. to spread the power of the gospel, the good news that's able to transform lives. And then we see in this passage, he's now sending out 72 more, two by two. And he wants these disciples to go out and to impact the world. So through scripture, God is allowing us to look into his heart and to see what is most important to him, what he is passionate about, and that's the saving of souls, the salvation of mankind. So now God is inviting us to share in that passion with him. When you think about churches who are successful, they are churches who share in God's passion. You know, churches who have good singing and on fire for God. A lot of times we talk about successful churches and we look at exterior qualities. Good singing, and good singing is great. I love good singing, but you can be on fire for God and have good singing. But guess what? People's lives can still leave unchanged. Churches who have great attendance, we look at those external factors and we say those churches must be on fire for God. But guess what? Churches who have great attendance on Sunday morning in the worship building, the community outside of the building may not even know our name. We say, well, churches who engage, who are doing great financially. Yes, these are successful churches. Surely they are on fire for God. But guess what? We can have, as churches, plenty of money in the bank. And we can have all of our financial obligations met. But God can feel about us just like he felt about the one talent man, when he told him, you wicked and lazy servant. Because he was not using his resources to glorify God. I want to tell you this morning, the churches who are really on fire for God are those who share the heart of God. Those who share his passion for soul winning. Who are just like God and has the same attitude of God. Not willing that anybody, that anyone should perish. So in this passage this morning, we find God's heart. He's sending people. He's dispatching people. He's strategizing about how can we get this good news out? How can we impact the world? We see his passion over and over again. And so then he goes on in verse 2 and he says this, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. I'm here to tell you, he's trying to tell us there's a lot of work to do. There's a lot of people that need to be saved. There are a lot of souls that are lost right now who need Jesus, and we have that opportunity to give them hope. But guess what? We don't have enough laborers. We don't have enough disciples who are willing to work for the upbuilding of the kingdom of God. I thought about companies who have this same problem when it comes to them servicing their product. And many companies, when they have these moments, these bottleneck moments in their corporation where they don't have, maybe it's a peak season and they don't have enough workers to fulfill the supply. And so they implement other strategies in order to meet this need. So maybe they change up the workflows to try to get some synergy out of their workers. Maybe they reach out to a temp service and they hire extra bodies and they train them just to get them through this particular peak season. Or maybe they contract out certain segments of their business to a third party in order to handle the need. So they do whatever they can to meet the need. So, but we have to ask ourselves in the Lord's church, is it a shortage of laborers? Or is it a shortage of willing workers? That's an honest question. that we have to ask ourselves. We have, when we look at our society, we really become a society that is marked by busyness. Everybody's busy. Everybody's doing things. Everybody's engaged. We have a lifestyle that just filled with stuff. And we have multiple jobs that we're working in order to support our lifestyle. Our kids are often involved in multiple activities, sports or other extracurricular activities. And we go here and we go there because they're on the travel team. They're a star soccer player. And we go on the weekends and we do all of these things and we become so, so busy. And we can't forget that, you know, the weekends are for fishing. And we can't forget that Saturday is spa day, right? And we can't forget that Friday night is date night. That's how we keep the relationship good. We can't forget date night on Friday. And of course, because we're doing so much, it's probably good for us to rest on Sunday because we have to go back to work on Monday. And if all else fails, you know, we can always just catch the replay of the service later on in the week. That way we know we like the replay because we can just skip forward to the good parts. So before you know it, we have a long list of priorities that we have to get through before we even think about getting to kingdom business. And by the time we get to kingdom business, guess what? We're already wore out. We're already lack focus and we're too tired to be effective in kingdom business. So here's the thing about passion. When we are passionate about something, guess what we'll do? We'll find a way to pursue that passion. It doesn't matter how busy our schedule is. When we are passionate about something, when there's something in our heart that we're driven and we're motivated to do, we find a way to do it. And when we do that, everything else has to work around that passion. Well, we need to have God's passion. We need to share in his passion for souls. We need to share in his passage for making sure that we are active in carrying out the message of the cross. So then in the text, the writer says that we need to pray. He said that we need to pray and ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. This is something, in other words, that is so important to us. The souls of men is so important that we need to be actively asking the Father for more workers, for him to convict more hearts, for him to change lives in such a way that we are willing to go out and to seek and save others. Because there are souls that need Jesus. Here lies a critical point in this passage. He says pray, but he says pray to send out. Pray that people will be dispatched. And this really helps us to see who we are in the kingdom of God. We are the sent. We are people who are dispatched. We are people who have the attitude that says, here I am, send me. Lord, if you need anything, here I am, send me. We are the sent people. We have been engrafted into the purpose of God to help build up the kingdom. That's the Great Commission. And in fact, we are missionaries. And I know we view missionaries as those who go out to other countries and try to teach the word to them. You know, the missionaries, those who are always raising money. Amen. We see missionaries as that, but guess what? All of us are missionaries. And the mission field is wherever we go, whether it's the grocery store, Whether it's the gym or whether it's our kids' practice fields, at a family reunion, at the doctor's office, anywhere we go is our mission field. And we have to wrap our minds around the fact that everywhere we go, we are being sent. It's an opportunity for us to share the good news of Jesus Christ. But what God wants us to know is that we have an opportunity this morning, that we have been called and sent. And what I like about it, we're the perfect people for the job. I thought about a game that we used to play as kids called hide and seek. And oftentimes we play that game, that same game as church members sometimes as adults, hide and seek. But when we're growing up playing hide and seek, one person is it, and the other people go and hide. And that person goes, and he tries to find the other individuals who is hiding. But once he finds them, he tags them, and then guess what? They become it, and everybody else goes and hides. When we use this analogy, God came looking for us. And he found us, and he cleaned us up, and he saved us. And now God is saying to us, tag you in. Now it's your responsibility. It's our responsibility to go out and to seek those who are hiding in the darkness. Too often, when it comes to church growth, we are waiting for somebody to just come through the door. Somebody who is seeking Jesus. And that happens from time to time. I'm sure people hear about the great people who are here at 10th and Broad, and they want to come out and they want to assemble with the saints of God. They want to be a part of it. And so they walk through those doors. But there are many people who are in the harvest field who are hiding. And they're just waiting for someone to find them. And someone may say, why are they hiding? Well, they're hiding for the same reason that Adam hid in the garden when he was naked and afraid, because he had sinned against God. He had disobeyed him. And when God came walking through the garden, he asked Adam, where are you? And he said, I heard you in the garden, God, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. Adam was hiding because of his guilt and because of his shame. And I'm here to tell you today, there are many people who are out who are hiding because of their guilt. They're hiding because of their shame. They're hiding because they messed up. They made some great mistakes. They're hiding because people have talked about them. They're hiding because everywhere they look, people are judging them. They are hiding because people have written them off as a lost cause. They are hiding because they feel worthless and invaluable, and that no one cares. And they're just waiting for someone like you and I to care enough to come looking for them. And we ought to understand this because we've been there. If we're honest with ourselves, we know what it's like to experience guilt, to experience shame. We know what it's like to make mistakes. We know what it's like to be judged. So we are the perfect people for the job because we can relate to their struggles, and it ought to cause us to want to go out and seek and try to find those who are hiding. In closing, I want to just tell you about a story about a man that used to attend Wells Street before he moved away. This man was, by all accounts, probably homeless. He didn't tell you much. Our suspicions would think that he was probably living in a house that was condemned, probably didn't have electricity, but he wouldn't let you take him home. He used to push a grocery cart around the neighborhood, and One day he ventured by the church, and he stayed out there and stood. And in my estimation, I think he was just trying to see how people were going to react to him. So people spoke to him and treated him kindly. And the next time we assembled, he came again on the outside, and he was pushing his cart, and he talked to a few more members. And eventually he got to the point to where he got comfortable. He was comfortable enough to come in, and he began to worship with us, and eventually was baptized into Christ. But in this process, he one day, I guess, was I don't know where he got it. He was, I guess, rummaging in the garbage, or he was going through some stuff, and he brought me a picture. And it was a framed picture. I still have it today in the church office. And he said, Brother Rodney, he said, I found this picture and I cleaned it up, and I thought that this was something that you would want to have. And when I read it, it really communicated, I thought, what was in his heart. But it was also a reminder and a message for me. And it's a reminder. And that's why I continue to keep that photo. It's not a beautiful photo by any means. Not a beautiful framed picture by any means. He probably got it out of the trash. Probably did. And it's not good English, but it said this. Had a picture of a little person on there, and it says, I am somebody. Because God doesn't make any junk. And when I read that, I just looked at him, and I can just imagine the pain that he has been experienced. I can just imagine how people treated him because he didn't look the part. You know, the Church of Christ part. He didn't have that look about him. He didn't always smell good. He wasn't very kept. I can just imagine how people treated him, how they treated him as an outcast and probably shunned him many times. I can imagine that. So he wanted to bring me this picture to really express what was on his heart. He believed that he is somebody. And guess what? He's absolutely right. He's somebody that God loves. He's somebody that God wants to see saved. And I thank God that we were able to connect with him. And I praise God that he was added to the body of Christ. But I couldn't help but to think about how many others who are out there hiding, who are out there waiting for somebody to just put their arms around them. That's what this series is all about. I know we think about this series as our eight people, and we're praying for these eight people to come to Christ. But this series is just as much about us as it is them. Through this series, God is saying, wake up. Realize our calling. Realize what we have been engrafted to do. Realize what God has placed, the responsibility that God has placed on us to go out and impact the lives of others. Wake up. Wake up. What a great opportunity to be extensions of God. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you. We love you. We praise you today. Lord, we thank you for coming to find us, even while we were in the midst of our sins, Father God. You didn't wait until we cleaned ourselves up, Father. You met us while we were dirty and stained with sin. We thank you, Father, for loving us so much that you sent Jesus to pay the cost of the sins that we committed. Father, we pray to you right now, and we are asking you, Father, to help us with some of the internal struggles that we have that hinder us from being the people that you would have us to be, hindering us from being an evangelistic people, a caring and compassionate people. Father God, we ask you to remove the selfishness that we struggle with so much, Father. It can be about us sometimes. It can be about our problems and our struggles. Father, remove the selfishness and replace it, Father, with selflessness. Father God, remove the lack of compassion that we sometimes have. Father, let us look at you and how you looked at the crowd and how you understood that they were simply sheep without a shepherd. Father God, help us to remove our prejudgmental attitudes at times, Father God, realizing that sometimes our sins are just as bad as anyone else, Father, just covered up by nice clothes and converted actions. Father God, we are praying that you open our hearts. We're praying that we will be motivated in such a way, Father, that we can truly be used by you. We are your vessels. We are your hands. We are your mouthpiece. We are somebody that you can dispatch to those who are in need. Help us, Father. Help this church. Help Well Street. Help 10th and Broad. Help other churches within the city and abroad to awaken to your purpose and to realize that the harvest is indeed plentiful. Father, this pandemic has been terrible. It's been very challenging, Father God, but it has also presented a great opportunity. There are many, Father, I believe, whose hearts are ripe for the message of the gospel. Yes, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Father, help us to be among that few. Help us to be among the people who are committed, who are willing, and who are able to go out and share the good news of the gospel. Forgive us of our sins, Father. Forgive us in these areas that we struggle in. Just work on us, Father. Convict us in such a way that we can be more like you. As we leave this place, cover us, Father. Protect us. Keep your hedge of protection around us that no hurt, harm, or danger will come upon us, Father, until we meet again. We ask this in the name of Jesus, who came and gave his life, that we may have life more abundantly. Amen and amen.